We're presenting Psalm 119. And in the previous presentation, we looked at the range of what the law means and its place in the Jewish religion. And we looked at only the first stanza. There are 22 stanzas in this psalm, each with 8 verses. And as explained last time, it's an acrostic psalm. So the first stanza, every word, every consonant that begins each line is one of the consonants of the Hebrew alphabet. And since there are 22 consonants in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 stanzas. We looked just at stanza 1. I'll read it again just to pick it up, and then we'll move through the rest of the stanzas. Stanza 1 reads, "Blessed and happy are those whose lives are blameless, who follow God's law." And God in that sense is Yahweh. "Blessed and happy are those who keep God's decrees, seeking God with all their heart, who do no wrong, but follow God's way. You have laid down your precepts to be observed with care. Oh, that I was steadfast in keeping your statutes. I would be without shame if only my eyes were fixed on your commandments. I praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous judgments." And it concludes with verse 8, "Hold me close to you, and I will observe your statutes." And now stanza 2, which begins with the second consonant of the Hebrew alphabet, bet, or we would say b, and it reads, "How can young people keep themselves pure?" And the answer, "By paying attention to your word. With all my heart I seek you. Do not let me stray. I treasure your word in my heart to avoid offending you. Blessed are you, O God. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I recite the judgments you have uttered. I delight in your ways more than in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way. I delight in your statutes. I remember your word." And as in stanza 1, all these different words to look at the richness of the meaning of Torah. Word, statutes, judgments, precepts. A comment. It's because we're seeking God with all our heart that we treasure God's word in our heart, that we delight in following the way that God reveals to us, that we pay attention to God's word. We don't want to offend God or stray from God's way. Stanza 3. "Deal bountifully with your servant, so that I may live and observe your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things in your law. I am a pilgrim on the earth. Do not hide your judgments from me. My soul is constantly consumed with longing for your judgments. You rebuke the insolent who wander from your commandments. Save me from their scorn and contempt, for I keep your decrees. Even though princes sit plotting against me, I, your servant, meditate on your statutes. Your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. So a comment. We just prayed, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things in your law. Praying this with Jesus, we recall Jesus' ministry of healing the blind. Jesus wants us to see. As Mark in Gospel reads, is a lamp brought you to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? Jesus wanted to enlighten. That's the whole of John chapter 9 is about giving light. And we recall Paul's enlightenment on the road to Damascus. Jesus calls us to be a light to the world. Open my eyes. In his letter to the Gentile churches, Paul prays, this is in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Stanza 4, again 8 verses, each of which verse begins with the fourth consonant of the Hebrew alphabet, Dalet, our D. And the stanza reads, I lie in dust. Revive me by your word. I tell you of my straying, and you answer by teaching me your statutes. When you make me understand your precepts, I recognize your wondrous works. When I'm numb with grief, revive me with your word. Turn me away from false paths. Graciously teach me your law. I've chosen the way of faithfulness, cherishing your judgments. O God, I cling to your decrees. Do not disappoint me. I hasten along the way of your commandments, for you set free my heart. Let's just meditate for a moment on a couple of beautiful statements in that stanza. 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. And verse 32, I hasten along the way of your commandments. Why? For you set free my heart. We recall Jesus' words as found in John chapter 8. If you continue in my word, says Jesus, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. God's commandments don't restrict our lives. On the contrary, they reveal how we are to live so as to be open to welcome God's offer of God's self, God's offer of love. When we stray, we are, as the psalm says, numb with grief. And God's response is to reveal the way we should walk. Praying this with Jesus We thank God that Jesus is the way. Walking this way, we're never alone, for Jesus is walking with us. And now the fifth stanza. Teach me, O God, the way of your statutes, and I will observe them closely. Help me understand your will, that I may keep your law with all my heart. Guide me along your path, for in it I delight. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Keep my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your way. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you, brackets, who are moved with awe at the wonder and mystery and healing power of your presence. It's for those who fear you. Keep me from the disgrace that I dread. How good are your judgments? See, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And let's pick up verse 34. Help me understand your will. Why? That I may keep your law with all my heart. A comment. The history of ancient Israel is a history of failure to keep God's law. Hence the promise of Jeremiah. It's chapter 31. Verse 31 and the following, and it's quoted in the letter to the Hebrews. Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband. This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I'll put my law within them. I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." This prayer intuition of Jeremiah is reinforced by the words of another prophet, the prophet of the exile, Ezekiel. And in 36, the chapter 36, Ezekiel writes for God, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. I'll make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances." Praying Psalm 119 with Jesus, we recall his gift of himself at the Last Supper, a gift which he saw as a fulfillment of the promises given by God through Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jesus uses the word, "a new covenant in my blood." Jesus is, as Paul says in, or the letter to the Hebrews says, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Jesus asked his disciples to do what he's doing. Do this in memory of me. To give our lives in love for each other, indeed for the world. Paul saw himself as graced to be a minister of the new covenant. So this Psalm 119 beautifully expresses the grace and the calling of the Torah, the gift that God gave his chosen people. As we pray it with Jesus, we're keeping in mind that this has flowered into a new covenant now. Stanza 6 of Psalm 119 reads, "Touch me, O God, with your covenant love. Save me as you promised. Then I will have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Let me speak the whole truth, for my hope is in your judgments. I keep your law now and always will. I walk freely, following your precepts. I'll speak of your decrees before kings and not be ashamed. I find my delight in your commandments because I love them. I revere your commandments, which I love, and I meditate on your statutes." Look at verse 41 again. We plea, "Touch me, O God, with your covenant love." Jesus offers much more than a touch. Jesus promises to live in our hearts, along with the Father and the Spirit, the communion in love which Jesus shares with his Father. In verses 47 and 48, which you've just prayed, the psalmist speaks of his delight in God's commandments. He speaks of loving them, of meditating on them. And we can hear Jesus saying, "I do nothing on my own. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him." That's in John chapter 8. At his baptism, Jesus was overwhelmed by an experience of God's delighting in him. Jesus knew that God wants everyone to live and live to the full. God reveals how we are to live so as to welcome the love that God is constantly pouring over us. Jesus knew this, hence his commitment to respond to God's will with all his mind, all his soul, all his heart, and all his will. And Jesus calls us to do the same. For this is the way to the life and happiness for which we were created. We move to stanza 7. "Remember your word to your servant," the psalmist prays. "It has given me grounds for hope. This is my comfort in distress, that your promise gives me life. The arrogant utterly deride me, but I don't turn away from your law. When I think of your judgments from old, I take comfort, O God. Indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been the subject of my songs in the land of exile. I remember you in the night, O God, and I cherish your law. This is what counts for me, to obtain your, to obey your precepts. Exiled from his home, the psalmist rejoices that he finds his home in knowing and obeying God's will. No one can take this from him. Knowing God's will, welcoming the law, the Torah, gives the psalmist life and grounds for hope. And as he's prayed, this is what counts for me, to obey your precepts. Praying this with Jesus, we recall his words. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. And Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, one doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Paul writes, in Christ Jesus, the only thing that counts is faith. Faith working through love. And Paul speaks of the obedience faith. Let's pray with Jesus, stanza 8. It's verse 57 through to 64. You, O God, are my portion. I promise to keep your word. I implore your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of your ways, I turn my steps to your decrees. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you for your righteous judgments. I'm a companion to all who fear you, all who keep your precepts. The earth, O God, is full of your love. Teach me your statutes. I'll just select a couple of the verses in that stanza. You, O God, he says, are my portion. In Psalm 16, the psalmist says to God, I have no good apart from you. Others choose other gods, but the Lord, Yahweh, is my chosen portion and my cup. In Psalm 73 we read, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. God has chosen us as his heritage. As we pray in Psalm 33, blessed and happy is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. And in turn, God gives God's self to us as ours. And in stanza 64, verse 64, we read, the earth, O God, is full of your love. Jesus revealed It's this love that God wants to give everyone without exception. Let's pray stanza 9. There's plenty of repetition in this long psalm, but the truth in it is worth repeating. All of it is about clinging to God, wanting God to hold us, and thanking God for revealing the way, the real way to find life. And as we pray this psalm as Christians, we can't help keeping Jesus as the focus of our prayer, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. The stanza 9, we pray, "You have dealt well with your servant, just as you promised. Teach me right discernment and knowledge. Teach me to put faith in your commandments. Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good and your deeds are good. Teach me how to obey. The arrogant smear my name with lies, but with all my heart I keep your precepts. Their hearts are cold and closed to good, but I delight in your law. It's good for me that I was humbled, so that I might learn your statutes. Your law is better to me than untold wealth." The psalmist talks about being humbled. Praying this psalm with Jesus, we hear Jesus' invitation. This is in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I'll give you rest. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." To be humble is to know that all we are and all we have is gift. It's to know the joy of being dependent, knowing that the one on whom we ultimately depend is God. God, our loving Father, Mother. The only hope for the proud is to learn humility. Paul exhorts us in his letter to the Colossians, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And we also prayed in stanza 9, "Teach me how to obey." Praying this with Jesus, we turn to him and we ask him to teach us how to pray. When his disciples asked this of Jesus, he replied by telling us to begin not by looking at ourselves, but by looking towards God, allowing ourselves to be caught up in awe and wanting the whole world to enjoy God's holiness and to know the joy of doing God's will and so bringing about the reign of God's love. Only then we're to think of ourselves, trusting our daily needs to God's love, confident in God's forgiveness, and in the knowledge that God will be with us in our trials. Stanza 10 reads, It was your hands that fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may know your ways, that I may obey your commandments. Those who revere you see me, and they rejoice because I hope in your word. How right your judgments, O God! How wisely you humble me! Comfort me with your covenant love, just as you promised. Let your tender compassion cover me, that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the arrogant be put to shame, because they undermine me with guile. As for me, I meditate on your precepts. Let those who revere you turn to me, so that they may know your decrees. Keep me true to your statutes, free of all shame. A comment on verse 73, it was your hands that fashioned me. In Psalm 64, the psalmist prays, O God, you're our Father. We're the clay, you're the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And the wise teacher, Ben Sira, writes, like clay in the hand of the potter, to be moulded as he pleases, so all are in the hand of their Maker, to be given whatever their Maker decides. The psalmist pleads to God to cover him with God's tender compassion. We think of the cover of the ark in the inner temple, and the plea to be with God there under the protecting wings of the cherubim. And now stanza 11, which brings us halfway through this psalm. It reads, it's verse 81 and the following, it reads, I yearn for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes grow dim from watching for your promise, and I ask, when will you comfort me? I never forget your statutes. How many days do I have left when you will punish those who persecute me? The arrogant scheme to trap me. They flout your law. Your commandments are true. My enemies know only lies. I'm persecuted without cause. Be my strength. They've almost made an end of me. But I've not forgotten your precepts. In your covenant, in your covenant love, spare my life so that I may keep your decrees. The psalmist knows the connection between covenant love and wanting to keep God's decrees. He knows God. This covenant love is his strength. Stanza 12. You, O God, exist forever. Your word is firmly fixed in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands firm. According to your decree, all exist to serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my misery. I never forget your precepts, for by them you give me life. Save me, because I'm yours. I seek your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I observe your decrees. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is boundless. In the New Testament, Jesus invites us to be perfect, as he says, as your Father is perfect. The kind of perfection to which we aspire is the kind of perfection we see in God as revealed by Jesus. Perfection in the gift of self, perfection in love. We are less limited in our capacity to love until we can say with Paul, it's no longer I who live, it's the Messiah who is living in me. Stanza 13. The psalmist prays, how I love your law, your Torah. It's my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's always with me. I have more understanding than my teachers, for I ponder your decrees. I understand more than the aged, because I keep your precepts. I keep my steps from every false way in order to follow your word. I do not turn away from your judgments, for you are my teacher. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey. Through your precepts I get understanding, and so I hate every false way. They wanted to remind themselves to keep God's law before their eyes and to carry out the law in their actions. Here the psalmist wants to keep the law, as he says, always before me. He loves God's law because it gives meaning to his life and keeps him grounded in God's love. Or as he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey. The Pharisees in Jesus' time wore, strapped to their foreheads and on their arms, containers holding key texts from their sacred writings. In the book of Exodus, the people are instructed to remember God's freeing them from slavery in Egypt. This is the quote from Exodus 13. It shall serve for you as a sign on your hand, on your arm, and as a reminder on your forehead, so that the teaching of God may be on your lips. For with a strong hand, God brought you out of Egypt. And likewise in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, God is your God, God alone. You shall love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your arm. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These are the origins of the wearing of the phylacteries. Stanza 14. Your word, sings the psalmist, is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous judgments. I am severely afflicted. Give me, Yahweh, the life you promise. Accept, O God, my offerings of praise. Teach me your judgments. My life is continually at risk, but I don't forget your law. For me, the wicked lay snares, but I don't stray from your precepts. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They're the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. The psalmist knows that to receive the life promised by God, he must follow the path laid out for him by God and revealed in the Torah. This is not because God's offer of love is conditional, but because this is the only way we can open ourselves to receive the unconditional offer of love. Psalm 15 reads, I have no love for the deceitful. My love is for your Torah. You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Go away from me, you who do evil, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live. Let me not fail to attain that for which I wait. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard always for your statutes. You spurn all who swerve away from your statutes. Their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you count as dross. Therefore I cling to your decrees, in fear of you, in awe of you. I tremble and I revere your judgments. That beautiful line, you are my hiding place. This is the place Jesus told us to go to when we want to pray. He promised that he would be there along with his Father and the Spirit of love that is their communion. That's in John, Last Supper discourse. Stanza 16. I live by justice and right. Do not abandon me to my oppressors. Stand up for your servant's welfare. Do not let the godless oppress me. My eyes tire from watching for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your promise. Deal with your servant according to your covenant love, your promised faithful love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding so that I may know your decrees. It's time for God to act, for they're breaking your law. Truly, I love your commandments more than the finest gold. I direct my steps by all your precepts. I hate ways that are false. In this stanza, the psalmist calls himself God's servant. Praying this psalm with Jesus, we recall his gesture of washing his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. The action of a servant. He asks us to follow his example, to serve each other. However, Jesus went on to say, I'm not now calling you servants. I'm calling you friends, because I've revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. In his dogmatic constitution on divine revelation, the Second Vatican Council wrote, from the fullness of his love, God addresses us as his friends and moves among us to invite and receive us into his own company. It's in our coming to know Jesus more intimately that we will come to know all he heard from the Father, having understanding to know God's decrees. Stanza 17, that's verses 129 and the following 8 verses. Your decrees, says the psalmist, are wonderful. I guard them with my life. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Sighing for you, I long for your commands. Turn to me, be gracious to me, for I love to call on you. Keep my steps steady according to your word. Never let evil master me. Redeem me from human oppression that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes stream with tears over those who do not keep your law. Praying this stanza with Jesus, we recall how Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And when the psalmist prays, my eyes stream with tears over those who do not keep your law, when we pray this with Jesus, we recall the following scene. It's in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44. And Luke tells us, as Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They'll crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. Jesus could see, as no doubt many others could see, this opposition to the Roman control would head eventually to a war which the Jewish community couldn't possibly win. And Jesus, looking at the city, looking at the temple that he loved so much, weeps because they weren't watching, they weren't listening. They weren't allowing what God had given Jesus to share with us. They weren't allowing Jesus to be heard and to follow a way of peace. The following five stanzas, that's stanza 18 to 21, they repeat themes already present in the earlier stanzas. So I can just present them almost free of comment. So let's go to stanza 18. You are righteous, O God. Your judgments are right. You've established your decrees in righteousness and truth. Zeal consumes me because my foes forget your word. Your promise is well tested, and your servant loves it. I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. When trouble and anguish come upon me, your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are forever righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. And stanza 19. With all my heart I cry, answer me, O God. I will keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me, that I may observe your decrees. I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I hope in your word. I'm awake through the night, meditating on your promise. In your covenant love, hear my voice, O God. In your justice, preserve my life. Those who want to harm me draw near. They're far from your law. But you, O God, are close. Your commandments are true. Long ago, I learned about your decrees that you fixed for all time. Stanza 20. Look on my oppression. Rescue me. I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me the life you promised. For the wicked, salvation is far off, for they spurn your statutes. Great is your tender compassion, O God. Give me life according to your justice. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not swerve from your decrees. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they don't keep your commands. See how I love your precepts. Let me live in your covenant love. Your word is founded on truth. Your righteous judgments endure forever. And now Psalm stanza 21. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word like one who finds a treasure. I hate, I abhor all falsehood because I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your just judgments. Great peace they have who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O God, and I fulfill your commandments. I keep your decrees. I love them dearly. I keep your precepts and decrees, for all my ways are before you. And the final stanza. Let my cry come before you, O God. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Rescue me according to your promise. My lips pour forth praise because you teach me your statutes. My tongue sings of your promise, for all your commandments are just. Reach out, ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O God. Your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you. Let your judgments help me. If I go astray like a lost sheep, seek out your servant, for I never forget your command. Praying verse 175, that is, let me live that I may praise you, we recall Paul's words about setting our hope on Christ so as to live for the praise of God's glory. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. And when the psalmist prays, if I go astray like a lost sheep, seek out your servant. And praying this with Jesus, we remember how he went out to rescue the lost sheep. And we read, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And we recall Jesus' parable, Luke chapter 15, of the lost sheep. The author of the letter to the Hebrews calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. And Peter writes, you were going astray like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. We might conclude then with that final prayer of the psalmist in verse 176, when he prays, if I go astray like a lost sheep, seek out your servant.